Welcome to the Unrefined Sophisticates. You are listening to Ken and Morgan Jones. Feel free to tune in on all podcast platforms and make sure to subscribe and comment. It doesn't have to be nice, they just want to hear your input. With that out of the way, get your ears ready, because you're going to want to hear this one. I gotta have my drink, pour me something in the cup. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Countdown. Welcome to another episode of the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast. We back in the big 200 unos in the building. We made it past the 200 mark. We strolling, going to start pacing our way towards that big 300. And at that point, we're going to try to get a Chirac episode put in the place. But until then, I am your host, Ken Jones. To my left,
Morgan Jones.
Hey, and we are here. Got a lot of cool stuff to talk with y'all about today. But before we get going there, I'm gonna go ahead and jump into these shout outs right quick. We're gonna shout out to Vancouver and San Diego for being our top listening cities this week. It's outside of Portland, Oregon. Shout out to France and Denmark for being our top listening countries this week outside of these here United States. Make sure, if you have not, that you do follow us on the Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. Follow Morg at Portland Morgan. You can also follow me, if you feel like it, at I Technically Can. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. Double up those entendres. Yes. Hello there.
Hello there.
How's it going? How goes it there?
It goes. You know, it's
daily.
Been a very long and busy weekend. So yeah. I'm excited to be doing this, and then I am excited to not do anything for the rest of the night.
Hey, I feel that 100,000%. I am definitely having the feeling that I've extended myself a lot. That drive, right quick, listeners, just bear with me. Making that drive to Seattle is, you know, it's like clockwork. Got it down to a science. It's a flow. But there are sometimes it's just unnecessarily long. And there's those days we've all experienced. This is for those of us who drive 5 to 10 miles over any speed limit that's shown, which isn't dangerous. It's not being reckless, just, you know. And there's the days where you got a lot of people that want to drive 5 to 10 miles under said speed limit,
and which is dangerous.
Yeah, and there's days that those people go ahead and make the drive rough, and I was running into a lot of that on that ride up there this time. But overall, it was smooth transaction. Finally made it back here today. But I'll say the highlight of this weekend, honestly, you know, we got to hang out a bit on Friday. That was a great time. You know, our normal recording time, we did a little shivvy shake, but we had the crew together and got to celebrate a little bit for that big 200.
That was fun.
That was a vibe. One of the things I really rocked the dynamic. Rocked with the dynamic of UI and Alos getting together. It's always a vibe. And then we got to take that and extend that into the next day for the control experience with Big Los. Shout outs to the man's putting together his first artistic experience.
Yeah.
And that gave me a energy for the rest of my day. It was interesting how I was dragging for most of the morning time and early afternoon. And then once we got to that building, that all changed. And I was back on and just having the moments of watching, bro, what he had created that went from just some words and ideas to actually being actualized and that space and legitimately being proud. Like, this is that. Like, I like seeing creators create. And so having that done and then the support that was in the building, and knowing, you know, what it takes when you are sharing your creation with the world, and you know, your connection to it is always going to be different than the world's connection. And the fact that, you know, being able to see in real time people's response to his showing of what he had created in his mind, it was just something. And I sat with that for like the rest of the day, even with posting, and I was getting people hitting me, asking me what's it with, and being able to give them a rundown, like, you know, just and hyping it up too, because people are like, who's that? Oh yeah, you're not, you go check it out, giving all the info, like, this is somebody you want to pay attention to. And you know, and I have to remind myself often, like, my young guy is 21, like, I got children older than this guy, and I have to remember that in moments. Huh?
23.
Who? Or sorry, you're right. Sorry, I kept saying 21. My bad. But with that, it's like knowing my guy is like really doing the things, like going for it, and having an understanding of the world that people my age aren't even thinking to think about. And just, I don't know, it's just cool being able to see the world through his lens at times, whether it's via these conversations and then these moments of creating and seeing how he interprets the world via his art.
Yeah. And the execution is ridiculous. Like, one of the things for me, and not as if I have shot with a whole bunch of, you know, photographers or anything like that, but like, it's the precision. Like, he knows what he wants to get out of it. And so it's, I'm not about to waste my time taking 57 pictures of you.
Yes.
Let me tell you exactly what I want. And then if I don't get it, I'm going to find a different way to say it to you so that then I get it. Like, and then it's 5 pictures instead of 57. And yes. So it's legit, like, get there and he's like, yeah, you guys ready? And and then it's done. Like,
yeah. And also having the piece of trust in, you know, that there was not a thought in my head that this was going to be questionable in any sense.
Not just at all.
Having that full trust that, oh, this is about to be stuff to extra it out.
Yo.
You feel me?
So part of me was like, I'm not part of, like, completely honored to even be a part of that, right? That we got to be one of the one of one prints. And then also part of me is like, I want to buy the whole pack because there's going to be a moment where, like, this is the most sought after pieces of art. And that. I see that. I feel that. I know that that is going to happen. So, like, I got to start my collection now so that, you know, later on in life, I really can be like, well, I knew Carlos in the beginning. And
that's what I legitimately thought as soon as I pulled away. I was like, why didn't I have bro sign this?
Yo,
so I got to double back and get the signature with the personalized message so they know it's real.
Yep. So Carlos, you get mine, make mine better than his.
And what I do want to say for the people out there listening to this is down at the Gallery Go-Go is where that exhibit is at. And that's down in that Pioneer Place. Yeah. Second floor above all the fanciness, or third floor. It's the third floor, yeah. I guess, going from the bottom. The GPS was saying second floor, yeah. But it's the third floor. Check that. And also, we got to push my man's up about 60 more followers ASAP. So
right now,
when we did the check-in earlier, I didn't throw it in there, but I'm throwing it in there now. So to follow all the dopeness, go ahead and follow my man's at Carlos Andres Cortez _. Now that's C-A-R-L-O-S-A-N-D-R-E-S Cortes underscore.
Yo, that is a perfect name to spell out that way. It was perfect.
I'm basically a rap star.
Well, I knew that. You're right.
That's it. That's like, it's the H to the H to the H. I used to hate when people be spelling their names. I used to hate that. It's the H to the H to the H. Like, no, shut up.
We know. We bought the album. Shut up.
That's just like, I also hate when rappers be collaborating with somebody from a different city and it's always the from the A to the day. Like, shut up. I don't know why I hate that, but I do.
But I do.
Anyways, y'all make sure to follow, bro.
Yeah,
we'll be able to see. You'll quickly see when you jump on the aesthetic. You'll see us survive. You'll see it's why he is who he is and what he is onto. Guarantee you it's something special and will stand out in his signature style. That's the thing, is when you see him, when you see his work, you know it's his work. And I think that's hard to do for a lot of people who just take photos.
Well, and especially in a year this late, right? Like 2023, that's a big year or a big age. And like, what's original?
Yeah.
You know? So like, and we've seen some, you know, imitation, if you will, of the style. And you still immediately know what is Carlos's work and what is someone else having fun or trying it. What are the two?
It's a vibe.
Yeah, do that.
And I got Big Bust Down. Y'all, if y'all was following me already, then you saw it. If you ain't following me, then you missed it, because I displayed the Big Teefy. that's what I'm nicknaming that, Big Teefy. The image that he created of myself in my own mouth, all up in my grill. Beautiful moments.
I do need to ask, do these all have names? Has he named any of these? So we got to ask.
Yeah, that's I want to know. No, I want to know what they're named. I want to know what they're named as, like, the file names, because that's where it'd be comedy. I think about when I be designing some of my joints, some of the file names be wild compared to what it ends up being for the world.
I'd go for that. I'd go for that. I want to know what the artist sees, you know, when they.
Yeah.
I love that. It was a great time.
One of the cool things about, you know, buying some of his artwork was that there wasn't a tip button. I love that. I just want to underline. I love that. your price was your price. And I'm a fan of that, you know?
You know, that was a beautiful segue. I can't move forward without, you know, the flowers must be given. That was really great.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've now ruined the segue by pointing it out, but it was a wonderful.
Yeah.
Tipping has gotten out of control, in my personal opinion.
We're saying this as habitual tippers.
Oh, absolutely.
Since before it was a conversation.
Yes.
We've been tippers. I've been an over tipper in most situations. Mm-hmm. When it wasn't being forced upon me.
Right.
You know, there's a difference between me waking up and wanting to clean my room and one of my parents telling me to clean my room.
Man, that's
very big difference.
Wow, that was the perfect way to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for the fact that you told me, now I don't feel like it. I was going to do it. Today was my day. My mental calendar had it on there.
I was ready. Now, not so much.
Nah.
Here's the thing for me. I feel like this is another one of those moments in, you know, American culture where there's a thing that we've been used to.
Yeah.
And which we shouldn't have been used to anyway. And that is not to say that people do not deserve to be paid for the work that they do. But companies deserve to pay the people that work for them.
Boom.
So when you are not paying anybody who works for you a living wage, and then you're like, I mean, I guess y'all could tip. You know, you like it so much. Go ahead and give us some money. Like,
boop.
So now you have a population of people that are now upset with service working folks who do, in fact, work for tips. Because the companies, they're just misplaced anger. So, like, when I say it's out of control, I mean all the way across the board. You should not be asking me at Lowe's if I give a tip. Like, that's not real. Any of those places.
Yeah.
I'm going to, if I am at a sit down restaurant, if I am at a bar, there's no way I'm not tipping. But if I walk into the place of business that sells scones and I buy a scone, you don't really get to ask me for anything. And the reason why you don't get to ask me is I came to you. That's the service you guys are already providing.
Yes. You've counted your prices based on all the things that were needed to make this convenient for me.
Right. And so I get to pay a little bonus to your employees. Cute. That's your responsibility. And I'm like, it's out of line at this point. How many places are just automatic here? Let us know if you want to. For what?
Yeah.
What happened here?
Yeah.
I don't understand how you could even be asking me for that. And then there's this feeling of like, oh, I have to now because you and I are right here and you know how much my total is. And I feel like I have to push a 10, 15, 20, you know, like.
Yeah. And and I also have it, especially when I go to a new place of eating, like a new cart or something. I don't even know if this food is hidden. I'm taking a chance. And the amount of times that food has been, I've not gotten all my tacos or it's a different type of meat than what was I doing that for?
Right.
So I feel they should switch this up. The pay comes after you hand the food. Then I can run that card and do a tip if that's what I want to do. I feel like that could change some of the dynamics of this in those food little type of situations. Now, on another part of that is like, we're in a space and time right now, the prices on everything is skyrocketing. Yeah. Like gas, thinking of just what I just paid to go to Seattle and get back here. I put $90 to fill up my tank in the truck before going there. I got there, made the couple runs that I needed to there, another $90. And then on the way back down, I stopped because I was like, I don't want to have to get gas right when I get back. And just from like it wasn't too far. It was like an hour and a half driving. And it was like almost another 30. It was like $27. Like that's just because it's almost $5 a gallon. It's a little under $5 a gallon. And it's like, but that's not it. Like toothpaste, your basic amenities, everything is up. And so that extra is just not there to be throwing out for nothing.
I am not an economist, right? I barely understand most of the stuff. What I will never understand is this idea of we're just going to make things more money and then folks will catch up. We're not going to pay them any more money. We're not going to make sure that there is, a fail safe in case they don't have any money. We're just going to say, no, toothpaste is $5 now. And so you are going to pay that because you have to have toothpaste. And then you're mad when people steal toothpaste. Like we are making it harder on everybody who doesn't have, an abundance of wealth. Like if you are not just like really comfortable. And by that, I mean, maybe you don't have to work unless you're in that position, baby, what are we talking about?
Yeah. It's just a lot.
So I want to add on just the delivery aspect of it because, COVID changed the game in many ways. And one of those ways is people getting food delivered, getting groceries delivered. There's so many different things. And at least for me, it's funny because in Portland, the only food that could get delivered was pizza, basically. Like nobody delivered food. And on the East Coast, everybody delivers food. Like every single restaurant is ready to bring it to you, and they are barely charging you money to do it. They're just like, here.
Yeah, yeah.
So the shift happened, and that is a big difference now. I definitely believe that delivery people need to be tipped. Like, that is absolutely a service. There is convenience for you that is someone else going to pick up your food and bringing it to you.
Yes.
So I don't understand the idea of not tipping a delivery driver. And I don't understand the idea of going real low, like they did something wrong with the pricing or something. You know, like I get it. The meals are outlandishly expensive at this point because of the company. And so my whole thing is, I don't want to see delivery drivers out here yelling at folks for not tipping. I don't want to see people yelling at delivery drivers for asking for tips. Collectively, take that energy and be mad at DoorDash or Postmates or whoever you're getting it through, because they're not paying those people.
1,000%.
We are in desperate times, call for desperate measures, right? I don't know how many of the people that are currently delivering for DoorDash or any of these places that really love and want to do that, right?
Right, like, right.
Here we are doing this job. They have not seen an increase in anything unless the tips get bigger. So whose fault is that? They are taking exorbitant fees. I mean, so much money that it's all to push you to do a subscription.
Yeah.
So that you're paying X amount of money a month, because if I can get out of it by paying $10 a month, I don't have to spend $20 per delivery. That tells me that's not a service fee.
And that's going to keep running up too, because Amazon Prime was started out at $49.99. That joint is up to like $179 or something now. Easy. And it's,
I mean, yeah.
And what I want to say too, because going to where the companies are paying, I was following a thread on like Instacart where they were talking about their stuff, and it was a, you know, somebody posting one of the joints that they refused because they wanted them to go to Lowe's and pick up a bunch of cinder blocks. And it looked like they were building a backyard patio setup. And this run was only going to be like $30 or something. And the person was like, this is labor. Like, to, you know, this ain't grabbing some groceries right quick. This is some heavy duty stuff. And
I feel like, you know, that the person who tried to get that, I feel like, you know, that wasn't worth 30 to you, because you didn't leave your house. Right.
But this is where it's even trickier, where they said, so the thing is that some of these box stores that offer delivery, they're not the ones delivering. They contract with an Instacart or these other services. So, the end user doesn't know that. They just think it's Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever it may be, right? And it's just a person going to grab that stuff and not an actual employee. So they were talking about that in that thread. Again, I'm just pulling from what workers of Instacart said. I don't know how all the ins and outs work. That's their breakdown of it. And that was just like a moment of, you know, the companies are always going to find the cheapest way to do the things that's the most expensive for them, that they're going to get, or not the most expensive, but they're going to get the big part of the money that's coming in on this thing. And it leaves the worker in a messed up spot. And again, it's not like these services that are out here, it's almost not feasible to not have a side hustle. And that's what, for a lot of people, this is their primary income. But there's a lot of people who work a full-time job and then have to go deliver in order to just keep up. These aren't people who are out just being reckless with money. Just your basic cost of living is making you have to pick up a part-time second situation.
I think I told you this at some point this weekend. I got hit with the double whammy. So my rent went up and the rent of our storage unit went up at the same time. And I have been saying for years, if nothing changes, how dare you charge more for rent? Like, you didn't do anything. The fees, the whatever, ain't on me, brother. Yeah. Like, that got nothing to do with me. Plus the fact that you're already making money hand over fist. Like, it is. So it's just greed. And what is a person supposed to do? Like, those are necessities. Like, I have to, we have to pay rent. And you just going up and up, like we're in the middle of a homelessness crisis, where especially in a city like Portland, there's no affordable housing at this point. Like a studio apartment is close to $2,000. What are we talking about? What would a solution be? You could lock up every single homeless person and then still have a whole bunch of people that are about to be newly homeless because they cannot afford the rent that they're paying. And these jobs are not changing. They are not making, you are not making any more money unless you're a part of a union. It's just like, this is the worst disaster capitalism, you know, like we're just seeing it come to fruition all at once. And it's real ugly. Like, so I just want to keep in mind, everybody be
and
mad.
This is why you have the young, Robin Hood-esque rapper Punch Made Dev teaching you how to commit wire fraud step by step and dropping that heat. You're not privy.
We'll drop that in,
but he's giving you the rundown of how to make it happen. Like step by step, they've pulled it off of YouTube and some more stuff. So, man's must've been dropping some actual jewels here. And he was even telling you how to chill out and so on. So, I mean, again, this is a result of people having to supplement all the things and finding the ways.
That's exactly it. And so when these companies are out here with record profits, but we are also dealing with record homelessness and record debt, like who's really to be mad at? Like it is these corporations, it's the Walmarts and McDonald's that are the largest employers, but also the largest employers with people, their employees on welfare. Like, you don't have any big, what? Let's please be mad at the right thing. Let's direct the anger where it goes, because there's zero reason that fellow workers need to be getting yelled at or taken things away from because the company that they work for either doesn't recognize them as an employee and calls them a contractor or whatever, like you were saying with Home Depot using Instacart or whatever.
Yeah.
Instacart is not paying none of the people working for Instacart, none of the people working for DoorDash are employees. They are all contractors. So not only are you not paying me enough money, now I've got to do completely different things with my taxes.
Yeah.
There are completely different implications. Now I'm a business owner for half of the time. You know what I mean? I just wanted to go to work. Not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody wants to keep receipts. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to pay the rent. So please, let's direct this anger where it needs to go. And then let's do something about it. Cause this is a moment to organize. And we see all of these labor, the organization of labor. We see the organization of the orcas. Now's the time. Like, this is not for anybody to sit around. Like,
hilarious that you said organization of orca, and I immediately thought of Free Willy hitting the wall.
Battle cry. when Free Willy hits the wall, that's when they all come out. Let's be worried about the right things for once.
Which I was looking into Amazon Flex. As I was wondering about that, because I was on one of those subreddits and like looking at it, but you can't even, it's like, oh, it's full here. So they've got like a waiting list and all that to be able to do it. But I was definitely curious because I was talking with my little brother about driving type jobs and, you know, him to find something that could be in that ballpark where you're kind of on your own terms rather than going in and clocking in every morning at whatever time until this time, but just being able to grab stuff. And he's a driver. He likes maneuvering around. They were like, yeah, we don't have any. And it just made me think about going into how many people work for these delivery services.
Mm-hmm.
And because there are so many, that just keeps making, you know, it less and less profit for the worker.
Yep.
Because they're spreading this out so much. And, you know, you even talk about restaurants. I know that that was also a conversation. One of the threads of, you know, some of the restaurant employees being like, you know, that they kind of don't like the services coming there because it's like less people coming in to sit down and they know they're not getting tipped. There's nothing that's, you know, coming their way now. And that used to all be people coming through the door to come get the food. Yeah.
I feel like that's a valid complaint right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. And the way these COVID numbers looking and moving on the uptick, not to say there will be another quarantine because you know that this country doesn't care if you live or die, but
in LA,
there's going to be, you know, the more that this virus just continues to multiply and we just continues to have to deal with it, the less people are going to be ready to go out. It's going to be like, that part's just not worth it to me. Like, they'll go out in different ways, but like food,
yeah,
it's already gotten to the point where it can come to me and I don't have to worry about it. So like, that's a serious concern, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I see that in the way of all the things, as you know, convenience is king,
yeah,
or queen, yeah, you know, but convenience is it. And we watch, you know, everything. Like, just think of how many things you don't have to do. Your groceries can come to you. You can do all your banking from your phone or the laptop. It's just, there's not many things that you have to show. Most of your doctor's visits, if you're not actually, you know, doing, getting something that's a, you know, physically needing to be touched, then you don't really have to. And of course, you know, this real Wally-esque and just thinking of the future is now, of course, and these things are only going to become the primary way. And it's not I feel like all of the shift is going to be going into a restaurant and so on is going to, at some point, I feel, is going to be, it's more for the look versus this is a need. Like, we're doing it because it's more so of like, oh, this is cool to go to a restaurant. Remember when we used to do that all the time? It's gonna be more of that novelty. There we go. It's more of a novelty type situation. And I think that's where things are trending, versus, you know, where more things are happening, where like social meetups, that's is definitely, I feel like, more popping than people going and sitting at a restaurant to do something. They'd much rather, you know, end up at a bar. That's probably the only thing so far that hasn't really changed, is it's not the same of getting a drink delivered to your house versus being in the space, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's life. Yeah.
It's the evolution here. We're in the middle of, you know, what do they call them? A shift. Culture shift.
Yeah.
And I guess those are painful. I don't know.
Right in the wazoo.
Yeah, okay. Well, speaking of painful, no, I don't have one. I don't even know
what this stuff.
Is this the first ever?
Is that what you were jumping into?
Not even a little bit, actually.
Oh.
We didn't talk about this in our pre-production meeting, but did you see the stuff with Jamie Foxx and Jennifer Aniston
at all? No.
Okay. Oh, one of my least favorite and most favorite things to do is explain something to you that you haven't seen. Like, the least favorite part is that I'm like, I'm going to mess it up and not tell you everything that happened or something. Most favorite is I get to watch your reaction to stuff. So Jamie Foxx said, they killed this dude named Jesus. What do you think they'll do to you? Hashtag fake friends, hashtag fake love. And Kenathan, I don't know about you, but, this is a phrase that I have in, the Black community heard my entire life in a way of describing, I'm just a person.
Yes.
I'm just a regular, degular person who, you know, and went to school with or whatever. So if you were a person that would have, like, they killed Jesus, what's going to happen to me? the they in that scenario is not a, you know, amorphous they.
Yeah, the things.
It's they that just they, because you're not going to say if Ted killed Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The fake friend's name, like it. So this is just a part of the black lexicon and American African Americans. So Jennifer Aniston says this is a this really makes me sick. I did not, quote, like this post on purpose or by accident. OK, and more importantly, this post on purpose or by accident. And more importantly, I want to be clear to my friends and anyone hurt by this showing up in their feeds. I do not support any form of anti-Semitism, and I truly don't tolerate hate of any kind, period. So I have had multiple moments, Ken, where I did not know that something was anti-Semitic. And so take those moments to learn, right? Like okay. I definitely... things I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then also two plus and maybe we can have some space for the, because I think that other folks get space when it this was racist and folks are like, no, it wasn't. And then now we're arguing about why the anti-blackness is anti-blackness. Right. Jamie Foxx immediately apologizes and it's, don't have the apology directly in front of me, but it was along the lines of like, whoa, I definitely was not, that was not my intention. I apologize to every person that I offended. This is, I was saying someone had, was fake with me. And it, so it was just like, that's what I was going for. Okay, real quick. I want to apologize to the Jewish community and everyone who was offended by my post. I now know my choice of words have caused offense, and I'm sorry. That was never my intent. To clarify, I was betrayed by a fake friend, and that's what I meant with they, not anything more. I only have love in my heart for everyone. I love and support the Jewish community. My deepest apologies to anyone who was offended. I thought that was a great apology.
Yeah.
I also think that this is the kind of moment where we get to say, this is a learning moment. He's not trying to say, I didn't do anything. I didn't.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be hurt. You know?
Yeah.
It's, oh, wow. I didn't know. Not my intent. And let me make sure that I have apologized to everybody that I could have offended with that. Me not knowing that was anti-Semitic, much of the black community not knowing, and I'm saying that because of the responses, the way that Jennifer Aniston jumped out the window with that and was
just that was the most disgusting,
I can't believe, and how dare. And there's more context to it for me in the way that, like, we haven't seen or heard from Jamie Foxx in so many months because he's been ill. There's something happened. Like, so you getting to... this is your pop back up. And you're met immediately with that. And I think that if it were, I just think that unwarranted, and especially for this person and this moment.
What's crazy is, you know, that before she put that up, it was probably sent to people of like, oh my, can you believe this? I just can't actually. This makes me so angry.
What makes me angry is y'all just keep telling us you don't know black people in real life, and then we gotta just be okay with it, because like you are deciding what things mean for other cultures. Like, you don't get to actually do that. And like I said, if he was out here on some yay, like, I said it and I meant it, whole different story. But to like take it that way and then take it that far.
Yeah.
And still, I ain't seen no apology from her. I ain't seen no like, I didn't know and you didn't know. And like no discourse. Right. Which is always people asking for, how come we can't have the discourse? I just, like, you don't have. if you don't have black friends, if you don't talk to black people in real life, and I don't mean like the woman at work or the guy at work that is the one black dude at work, like, you, like, this is the moment where it really shows. And it's like, not you, not you, Jennifer Aniston, who was was a part of stealing an entire show. Not you. Like, nah, I can't. It's the thing that just puts me on edge, where it's like, nobody had an issue stealing Living Single.
There's something to that. There's something to, like you were pointing out about, like, not having any awareness of the culture and the things that are euphemisms, are ways that we interact. And if you are not around it, besides what you're seeing on the interwebs, if you're even seeing that, because also we have to take into account of what people's algorithms are. And if you're not, like, I don't, there's a lot of stuff that don't come in my feed that would be, I guess, what you consider white world entertainment. I don't have a ton of that, right? But I've also been inundated my whole life with that culture, so I have a fair understanding of how it works, right? But on the flip, you don't necessarily have to have that. And I think about how many scenarios and situations are thrown or blown out of proportion, whether it's somebody's mannerism or the way they did this, and it was aggressive. And it's like, nah, this is no. Even just thinking of, you know, terms that we've got, like, you know, thinking of saying something's fire or, you know, I'll hit you right back. Like, simple things like that, that I've seen, I've been met with confusion of, like hit, like, huh?
Hit me?
And it'd be like, this is a lot of bit weird.
Cause having to explain it is a thing that isn't supposed to happen. Like, if I say I'm gonna hit you back, just even the context clue, like,
what? Yeah, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We have to be fluent in white American culture. We have to be fluent in white American entertainment. Like, all of those things, we have to know those stuff. Like you just said, like, that I'm familiar because it's been my whole life. Like, we have to. I have to know what, you know, gosh darn it means. Like, I'm sorry, I couldn't come up with something better. But, like, we have to know that stuff because that's the predominant. So when you are coming and taking anything of ours or not understanding things of ours, like, it would be so much better if you were like, I'd love some clarification here.
Yeah. Like, that simple part of what you mean by that.
Right.
Like, that's legitimately, think of how much stuff could be resolved with a,
like, the,
what do you mean?
I've had to, you know, definitely learn coming in hot is not going to get you anywhere if you're trying to get somebody to learn anything. Right.
Yeah.
So, like, And this is not me trying to actually police how people do these things, but asking a question, like, you know what I mean? Did you know that that is an anti-Semitic trope? Did you know that people say that because of X? Because I don't want to come at you with 18 different data points and stats when you've never heard of that being that thing. Like, now here we are both looking stupid. You know what I mean? Like, nah, I don't want to do that. And who's it for? Because really all you needed to hear at first was that could have been taken the wrong way. Like, you might have said something that wasn't cool. That's really where you're going for. But instead it's like, die, jail. Because
I just want to say, Lowe's put up one that is hilarious of, I don't give a rat's ass. You fill in the rest. That is a bar, and I will always laugh.
Oh, that is super funny.
I've had it up to here. I remember the first time of hearing in my office. I remember I was saying that I wanted to start keeping a notepad, and I wish I would have actually done it back then. Because, like, the first time that I heard F me running.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, what? Run that back?
So one more time.
Like, that's a thing. That's a
like, okay, hold on. I really feel like I should have just hit the Googles before I even tried to give a thing. This one right here is one I've never heard from anybody other than a white man. Well, that's rich coming from you. Yo!
That is hilarious. That's, I've never heard that from nothing, nowhere else.
Nowhere else. Nowhere that's else.
Rich, well, that's rich coming, from, coming you.
From you. Okay. Thanks, Bob. You're right.
What if that's the, what if that was, is that the counter to don't write a check that you can't cash?
Pretty much. I mean, it's definitely in the same vein, you know. You're barking at the wrong tree, you know. That wrong tree, it's real rich coming from you. Like,
that would be actually kind of tight. This would be kind of icy to have a, the white phrases and then the black equivalents, like just listed out of which corresponds to which, and we would probably end racism. Because we all just saying the same thing, different words.
I mean, but we're not all saying the same things though, because if those same words, they killed Jesus, mean something else for other people, we're not saying the same words. Like, you know what I mean? We just, understanding is understanding. And like teachable moments are teachable moments. I am happy to know that now.
Yes.
And honestly, here's how I feel, Ken. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Get that out.
I just want to say, Jennifer hitting us with the I don't tolerate hate of any kind. That very much is, I don't see race to me. Like, you are wiping so much away by just saying, I don't tolerate hate. Like, cool story. So much of us don't. Like, do so neato, I guess, for you. Like, that is not a thing. You can't really just be like, I don't tolerate it of any kind. But you also do. Like, it like we talked about, I don't know, two episodes ago. Like, nah. American culture, y'all don't care about hate. Y'all do tolerate. You are totally actually fine with it. Like, it just depends on who's getting hated. But what we don't, what you don't, or you're letting us know what kind of hate you don't tolerate. And so you don't see color, but you do see color when you need to see color. And you don't tolerate hate, but you do tolerate hate when you gotta tolerate the hate. Like, I'm not, those are, you know, kissing cousins right there. Those are related. don't come to me and say that and think you said something. Do not. Because you're exposing yourself. That self-report is great. I do love those.
And in the vein of teachable moments, there was a very teachable moment that happened today. Videos hit our timelines of a boater attack that started out as a F around and ended with the you're found out.
To find out.
And I don't know if the security guard, he threw his hat in the air and it summoned like the 7/7 apes, the new era logo shined through the skies.
It was the all Batman.
Yes.
You know, like the Batman of the time.
But what I will give in this brawl, the whites was getting scrappy.
Okay.
It was, sorry, go ahead. Give it up.
Yeah. I just want to give the set the scene so that you can give us that.
Yeah.
So this is in Montgomery.
Night.
Also that. Actually, broad daylight. this is in Montgomery. They're on a river, and there's clearly lots of activity on this river. Like, there's, in Portland, you're familiar with, like, the Portland Spirit or the Stern Wheeler. Yeah. Or, you know, like, it's that kind. There's a dinner boat. There's a drinking boat. There's a blah, blah, blah. Like, you can see all of these things, right? There's a bunch of people on one of the dinner boats. So you don't see that boat, you know. And what happened was a group of white folks left their, what are those boats called? A pontoon? Thank you. They left theirs where this security guard told them, do not leave, don't park there, because here comes the Harriet. Like, we're going to, we will be back. And that's the big, big dinner boat.
Yeah.
So they get back and there's nowhere for them to, they can't dock because this boat is there. So yeah. Security guard who had already told them, don't leave your car here. He goes and he starts to move it. And this is how we all of a sudden, there's some white gentlefellows running down like, and the beginning of this, they talk multiple. He talks to multiple people. You see hands like pointing at the boat and pointing at the other boat. Like there's a lot of conversation. At some point, one of these white dudes just takes off.
Yeah. And it turns into a pack out.
When you see the very beginning of it where they're talking, right? When you see that, you there's two dudes that you're like, oh, you're itching. You're itching. Yeah. Like you're looking to hurt somebody right now.
Yeah.
You can just see it.
Yeah.
And then one of those people comes in with a knee when this person is already being sort of being packed out. Like there's two people already on him. This dude runs, hits him with the knee. Like, so now we're definitely in a pack out situation. And I say you can take it from there. This was definitely a phenomenon that made no sense.
From there, you see black legs and white shoes running across the top part of your screen. And then in the lower half, you start to see splashes. So somewhere off camera, I don't know if man's jumped off of a boat.
He jumped off the dinner boat.
Jumped off the dinner boat and swam to the dock to start getting busy.
I was ready to get busy.
And then from there, there's a couple angles that start getting more blacks come. These numbers start looking more and more even. And it's a nice rumble. Then there's a cutaway in one of the videos of them like trying to hide on the boat. And somebody comes down, a couple come to the boat and fire off on one of them on the boat. And then it makes it back to land. And then there's some women fighting. The women is packing out the women. Dudes is doing the stuff. And then a chair gets involved. Ooh. And
that chair boy, in the Black Smithsonian.
The boys got busy with that chair.
Man's
and with- I'm going to say this for the people that, you know, I am a fan of a grand old brawl. There's an excitement in my life, my younger life of these moments, the adrenaline that goes into it, especially when it's not escalating to like weapons.
Now we got weapons, right?
Bare knuckle brawling out here. I am a fan of this, and watching this happen brought me an amount of joy, because this wasn't this the pack out. Feel bad for the security guard getting started, but it came real quick and the ratios changed, and it then became we're shooting fairs essentially. Yeah. And you're watching this happen, and what I said was about to say earlier before Moore gave us the great understanding of what was actually going on is like, oh, the whites was getting busy. It wasn't a like we up out of here. This was mutual combat.
Yo,
at its finest.
This is definitely like everybody drank too much that was on that boat, right? Every single one of those white people is lit.
And so one old girl got packed out and pushed in the water. It was hilarious.
Damn. I was shocked, honestly, that there weren't more people hitting the water. Like,
I thought about that of being on a dock. Because even what's that little? Like, is it the landing spot? Whatever little bar that little restaurant is on Marine Drive, where you got to walk on.
Yeah. I don't remember
that. Every time I walk through that little joint, I always think, how many people then stumbled and fell into this water?
You already know.
There's nothing that can stop. And so I just thinking of that. Walking regular, so the idea of fighting on that little piece, my whole everything would be stay away from the water.
Right,
nothing calms you down like falling in some water. That's,
and you know, it's cold. There's no there's no body of water. There's just like extra warm.
Yeah.
You
know?
I do want to also point out how the police were just 1,000% useless in this. And yeah. I'm not even mad, actually. Like, they're looking around like, this is just, look at this scene.
They got busy on the chair, man. It's funny, when a girl got thrown in the water, nobody looked her way. Like, nope. nobody in the melee or nothing.
Like, the police are just like, whoa, where do I even look? I don't even know. Too much happening. They just don't even try in these moments. That's when old boy gets going with the I just want to also say, ladies, friends, let's bring it in. I want you to listen to me. If you are ready to get hit in the face, mm-hmm. fine, run down there.
Yeah.
But if you're going to get hit in the face and then scream that somebody hit you in the face and that's unfair. And this is not me saying, you know, women, I don't know. This, oh my God, that man's whole butt is out in the basketball shorts. Yikes. There's just a lot of accidental hands. You know what I mean? Like, people catching accidental hands. And I just don't know what these particular women thought they were about to bring to the party when they ran down there. And this is not to say that women can't fight. I'm not saying it, whatever. I don't know.
But it was great.
It was like, this is the last place you were supposed to be. This is absolutely not minding your business. Get back on the boat. Get on the whatever. Don't do this. Like, in the beginning, one of those women runs over and I'm like, is this her son? Like, are you trying to save your son from, you know what I mean? Like, it's this, I'm going to jump in the front of it. Why? Nobody even sees you. You know what I mean? Like, this is a melee. You're catching fists to your face. They don't even see you.
Yeah. My only request is, people, when there's fights happening, stop screaming. Like, screaming does nothing.
Absolutely zero.
Like sitting in the back and just all the oh my gods and all that stuff. Stop. Like, just.
Yo, why did Lo say, heard someone the other day say, you can catch these equal rights and lefts. This episode.
I like that. Equal rights and lefts.
Hands. Yeah. I also shout out to these black women who was like, oh, y'all gonna be down there?
And slid. Are y'all
down there? Okay. Cause I ain't seen no black woman get beat up. Like, they just handled some scandals. Oh, yeah. There is that chair is a WWE moment that isn't fake. Like, Sam hit hard with that chair.
That's definitely, I love that. I saw shirts and stuff already being made.
Yo, just it's a hell of our slide could legit just be the memes are outrageously funny. So
yes. Well, we gonna get ready to get it up out of here. I do have some stuff that I'll drop on y'all next week for the I Technically Can section. I have a couple things that I'm gonna get to. I want to put y'all up on, but we'll get to that when we get to that. But thank you, as always, for rocking with us another episode. Make sure you do that following of us on the Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. Follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Follow me, Can, at I Technically Can. And go run up Los's account
right now
at that Carlos Andres Cortez _. And with that being said,
it's checkout time. Gotta go. Yeah, baby. It's checkout time. Gotta go, man. Gotta go. Y'all know what's up.